Part 6, The Jimmy Horn Number. Nashville, July 4. Bert Poole woke up and found he'd slept through the 4th of July. In fact, it was just turning to night, a cloudy, purplish night. He stalked around breaking his Martin Luther King lamp as well as plates and cups from the kitchen. He kicked over the brown Naugahyde chair. It was so fitting, he thought. After months of planning for Horn, he'd missed it. He'd never be great now, not in any way, shape, or form. He went outside looking for a fight. After a few minutes of walking, he came to a Dobbs House diner that was open. He went inside and immediately took up hairy eyeballing two southern hoods with gold coxcomb haircuts. The hoods were sitting over empty plates and Coke glasses. Merle Haggard was trying to tell their story over the jukebox. When a waitress came, Poole ordered a burger with Thousand Island dressing and a milkshake. "Oh, man," the girl mumbled as she scribbled the order. "Milkshake? Oh, man." Poole's face was warm. His forehead was wet with perspiration. "Right," he laid out his nervous street person's accent. "I come in here for my dinner, right? My meal, right? And you have to hassle me, right?" The waitress put on a little smarty pants smile. "Course, most people don't order milkshake," she said. "Not at 4 a.m. in the morning." Poole put his hands over his face and slowly started to laugh. He peeked between trembling fingers at the Westinghouse clock over the counter. It wasn't night. He hadn't fucked it all up after all. It was 4:10 a.m. "Bring me some black coffee, too," he said to the girl. July 4th was announced with the usual cotton and hog reports on WKDK. Then the morning disc jockey discharged a string of fire poppers in his studio. Then he played Johnny Cash and Tammy Wynette singing in the Star-Spangled Banner. It was a red-hot day and already bright at 7:30 a.m. People were wearing sunglasses like it was noon. Wearing dark glasses himself, Thomas Berryman sat over a ribeye and eggs at Gale's on the Turnpike Diner. But Berryman was hungrier for a little countrified bullshit than for diner food. A young gas pump jockey named Uncle Smith Tarkanian finally filled the bill. Uncle Smith was no more than 25. He was eating ham for breakfast, 2 10-ounce ham steaks with light blue grease spread over the top. "Just relax now," Berryman was saying to himself. "I've been playing those damn cards for about 7 years now," he was saying to Tarkanian. "Knew a guy who hit 6 one time." Tarkanian chewed ham and drank coffee simultaneously. "Say it like he won a $50,000 lottery." Both men snickered into their food. They were discussing pro football betting cards. The gas man distributed the sheet's winners at his station. He was still carrying a few of the cards in his work pants. "It's pathetic," Berryman said. "There's this guy I read, sports writer. He says he won $17,000. Larry Merchant." "Read the man in Sports Illustrated," Tarkanian said. "He's full of shit." "He really is. Has a long hair to prove it. Looks like absolute piss on old men." "He's all of 35. "Uh-huh. Well, I remember this picture of Lyndon Johnson and what's-his-name McGovern," Uncle Smith said. "Big Ears had a fucking duck tail on. What's that 5 winners on a card pay in Hotlanta? 10-1?
15. You do better parlaying it with the bookie, if they'll parlay for you."
15 ain't bad," the young man considered. "Ain't bad at all. Card works on a 91% we-win basis, my man. You should know that. You want another cup of mud there? Mrs. Boreen," Tarkanian shouted for their old lady waitress, "get this man here some more of Gale's heavenly coffee."
Berryman smiled. He sat at the counter looking at the backs of his hands. The shaking from the night before had passed. He lighted up a cigarillo. "You know what?" He shook the little cigar at the gas pump jockey. "Lyndon is going to go down as one of the great presidents in the United States."
"Wouldn't doubt it,"
Tarkanian said. He lowered his voice.
"Because pretty soon we're going to have a nigger up there, then a Jew, then some goddamn woman like Miss Gale cooking back there in the kitchen, betcha."
"No bet," Berryman said. "I think you're exactly right."
"Seems I'm always right," Uncle Smith said, "when I don't want to be."
Berryman paid his check, then walked outside with a big smile on his face. For the moment, he felt pretty level, not even any butterflies after the meal. He looked down on the turnpike and saw that it was extra busy with cars going into Nashville for the parade. He rubbed his knuckles hard against his short hair and wondered for a minute if Una was going to meet him.